Believe the message. I'm just a vessel for the message.
Sure, I believe it. You are just as bad.
Stop, I am not.
No one knows what you're talking about. And we're going to keep it that way.
Hello.
It's the Rick Emerson, the radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Come on, Rick. You cut off Lisa just when she was about to suggest her fiancé change her name to Norbert Sporbert. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, clear the decks for Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Oregon authorities are searching the mountains around Grants Pass for a family from the San Francisco area that have been missing since a Thanksgiving road trip. James King, his wife Katie, and two young daughters were expected to arrive at their destination on the night of the 25th. In a report on the Today Show today, Katie's mother, Sandy, says she is at a loss for words.
I just don't know where they are. I don't know what to think anymore. And it's been very long time for the children.
I don't understand. This is their lost family.
This family just disappeared
they
out of nowhere.
They disappeared. It's a big story. And they're from San Francisco and they're coming here?
They came here for the Thanksgiving holiday and never returned.
Isn't that freaky? An entire family.
And this guy's big. He is like the editor of CNET.com.
Oh, okay. So he's not, this isn't like another Christian Longo.
No. This is a respectable businessman.
Okay.
And they have two very young children, too.
Oh, okay. I did see this story.
Did you see this on TV?
I did, actually. This was on the Fox News channel, which is blaring relentlessly in my in-law's living room. Right. So they're just gone?
Gone. Vanished.
Well, okay.
Nowhere to be found.
There you go. I have no.
Comment. All available resources have been pressed into service.
And so they were in Grants Pass. Forgive my ignorance about this.
Apparently
I'm so terrible with geography. That is where, as contrasted with here.
That is almost, Grants Pass is almost on the border with California.
But they were in Portland, weren't they?
They were in Roseburg. They were in Portland and Seattle.
So they were supposed to, head back to San Francisco and they just never appeared?
They were in Roseburg. They had dinner and left, and that was the last time they were seen.
Bizarre.
Mm.
Yeah, I got nothing.
These are very important people. Big national story.
All right.
Anyway, the second biggest story today is the so-called resignation of UN Ambassador John Bolton.
Bam.
Apparently, it sends a discouraging note to anyone who wants to serve their country, says Tony Snow.
There were more Democrats who were going to vote for John Bolton than Republicans who were going to vote against. There were 58 announced votes in his favor. That's bipartisan. John Bolton was a successful UN ambassador, and we grieve the fact that he was not rewarded for his success and honored for it.
Does Tony Snow's voice sound like he's been up all night screaming drunkenly at his children?
There were more Democrats who were going to vote for John Bolton than Republicans.
He sounds like I sound the night of the listener parties where I come in and it's a lot of, sounds like Likas sounds during those promos.
Rooms.
You listen to those promos when Likas was here doing a show at Barracuda and he's, you know, he's on stage just bellowing for a couple hours. He gets the fourth hour and it's a lot of, you know, at the end. It's the same way I am in all of those things. It's exactly what Tony Snow sounds like. First of all, the only thing about that John Bolton guy, he just, a drier and more humorless man you couldn't possibly find. And I used the phrase jerk with Lisa Goddard, but he clearly was just an a-hole. That's the thing. You just see that guy interviewing. He clearly was just an ass who needed to be kicked to the figurative curb, him and his hideous, god-awful molestache. So good riddance to you, sir.
Well, the UN reporter Nathan King argues the top U.S. diplomat at the UN was seldom diplomatic.
He alienated even traditional allies of the United Nations, including the permanent five members of the Security Council, France, Britain, Russia, and China. John Bolton has been very strong, pushing for resolutions against everyone from North Korea to Iran.
Yeah, all right, there you go.
Newsweek contributor Eleanor Clipp says Bolton's problem is that he was associated with Donald Rumsfeld.
He's a symbol of the old Rumsfeld days, you might say. And I think too many people have, you know, set their marker as being in opposition. And given the election results, I think his critics are not about to do an about-face.
You know, John Bolton looks exactly like the kind of guy you'd see at a bar where he's like half into the bag and grousing loudly about how he didn't get a promotion because it went to a minority instead. That's exactly the kind of guy. You look at that guy, that's the vibe that comes off of him. We've all known a guy just like him. The camera doesn't lie. You can tell exactly what kind of person he is.
Well, the president is not expected to react immediately to the release of highly anticipated reports on the Iraq study group. Mr. Snow said they're always looking to change things in Iraq.
What you end up having is what the president, I think, has made it clear that he wants, which are people thinking creatively and exhaustively about ways of getting better results in Iraq.
I have been up all night bellowing at the moon, demanding that the gods tell me why I took this job.
Meanwhile, Michigan Democratic Senator Carl Levin believes the current course in Iraq is a failure. It was on Meet the Press, and he said it's wrong for the president to tell the American people earlier this week that the U.S. troops will stay in Iraq as long as Iraqis want them there.
The president, when he says we're going to stay in Iraq as long as the Iraqis want us to stay, keeps that open-ended commitment, which takes the responsibility off them and puts it on us.
I'm sure the Iraqis can't wait for us to stay forever. We've done such a bang-up job.
Yeah.
We're sort of like a house guest that comes over and eats all your potato chips, make a lot of long-distance calls, trips and smashes a coffee table, inadvertently exposes himself to one of your young children, and then settles in for a good snooze in an armchair.
So over the weekend, the so-called Rumsfeld memo was accidentally leaked to the liberal New York Times that is always out to destroy America.
With its San Francisco and New York values.
Mm-hmm. Well, John Murtha says the so-called memo is calling the conflict a civil war.
Two factions fighting for supremacy inside Iraq, and our troops are caught in between. And who's paying the price for this? The troops are paying the price. The families are paying the price.
Wipe the spittle off your lips, sir.
An Indiana senator plans to form an exploratory presidential campaign committee early this week. Senator Evan Bayh has spent the past few months visiting states like Iowa and New Hampshire. Previously, he considered whether to run for president in 2008. Now he's taking the next step.
Later this week, I will be forming an exploratory committee to take the next practical step. I'll make a final decision over the holidays with my family and have some final decision to announce early.
This guy's never going to be president. I don't know who he is. I don't know anything about him.
His name is Bayh.
Where is he from?
Indiana.
He's never going to be president.
No.
Later this week, I will be.
No one who speaks like this will ever be president.
The next practical step. I'll make a final decision over the holidays with my family and have some.
Apropos of nothing, I've decided that I want
to. You make a good accountant.
He really does. Well, that's exactly what he sounds like. He sounds like.
Later this week, I will be forming an.
He sounds like a guy that ought to be in a Geico commercial.
He realizes he's not well known.
As the people get to know me, I think we'll do very well. I've been a successful two-term governor with a record of delivering results.
Oh,
I now have
two.
National security experience from my presence in the Senate. But most importantly, George, I have a deep appreciation for how broken this city is.
Different conclusions you can jump to. I sense the beginning of an exciting new bit on the Rick Emerson Show. What's his name? John Bayh?
Even Bayh.
Even Bayh? Now, there's a joke there somewhere. All right. Hey, apropos of nothing, I've decided I want to start a Sunday morning news and affairs program called Press the Meat.
Please do so.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's bye-bye for Lance and Ration. I guess that's how you pronounce their name. The last week's popular gay couple has now broken up. In less than a year together, their relationship was a catalyst in forming the former NSYNC singer to exit the closet. This is according to TMZ.
Oh, Lance Bass?
Yes.
Well, he's been with that guy for a long time, though. That was an open secret.
That was his friend for a really long time.
Then Paris Hilton got involved.
Oh, man. Paris Hilton, boy, that guy got slammed with a... Was it a second lawsuit or was it the same lawsuit over the weekend?
Well, it's a group of seven paparazzi groups that have gotten together and they're all suing him.
I hope it's part of the decision. They can all line up and kick that guy in the scrotum.
They're being way too nice, though, because they're just saying, take off all of the images, that you've used and then give us all the money that you would have cost you to pay for the pictures.
He's a modern day Luella Parsons.
He's the sort of like Hedda Hopper but dressed in pink.
Yes.
I saw a picture of him in some candid shot where he was leaving some hotbed of celebrity in L.A. walking along looking petulant and snippy like he always does.
You have to do that there.
Well, you can't
be Evan Bayh and walk around being diplomatic in Hollywood. It won't get you anywhere.
It's true.
Forming exploratory committee.
I'm forming an exploratory committee to find out why I sound so unbelievably tedious and obtuse when I speak. I hope to have results in first quarter fiscal year 08. That is all.
Looks like Larry King has some skeletons in his closet. In a new book, Miami Beach Memories, author Joan Biondi alleges that King, whose real name is Larry Zeiger, had a bad gambling habit when he arrived in the South Florida city and eventually drove him out of town. According to the New York Post, page 6, local hoteler Irvin Cohen says in the book, If there are a lot of people in Miami Beach who are still angry at Larry, a lot of people he still owes money to. Another local claims that King was recently nominated for the Miami Beach Walk of Stars, but the board turned him down. She adds, that tells you what people think about him around here. He began hosting Larry King Live in June 1985.
That's the TV show?
Yeah.
God, it doesn't seem like it could possibly have been around that long. I remember this.
He was on the Mutual.
Yeah.
From midnight to six.
Oh, cool.
I think that was the first satellite show.
Probably. I remember listening to that show. Have you heard that clip? I think Don and Mike played occasionally, where he's on the air clearly having fallen asleep during an interview. And it's like, the Mutual Broadcasting Network, Larry King. I'm here with the guy who's written the... Sir, tell me about your book. And then the guy starts going, well, it's history of indigenous peoples throughout the Auckland, New Zealand area, Larry. And a discussion of the stonemasonry techniques that they used and how these techniques spread to the New World and led to a great upsurge. And then in the background, you hear like a... it's so clear. He's just completely fallen asleep halfway through the interview. Man, 21 years on doing the nighttime show, of which I've watched like three episodes.
That's like six heart attacks ago.
Really? Six heart attacks and three Mormon wives.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hi, George.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Listen, I wanted to first fall on my sword about the Bob Costantini instant runoff poll thing.
Mm-hmm.
I deeply regret my choice. I want to retract my vote because I that failed to grok the show, not he.
Okay, well, hold on. We did this Insta poll on Friday because Bob Costantini, who is the... he fills in for Lisa Goddard every now and again. And there had been some ongoing discussion on this program between Sarah and myself about whether or not Bob Costantini added to the program. I felt that his was a dry wit, perhaps a powder dry wit, and that eventually ended in that I would mind the comedy vein that lurked deep with inside Bob Costantini's soul.
Yeah, he's your Bob Newhart.
Well, that's... See, and I felt that he was just so...
He's the even buy of news people.
He's forming an exploratory committee. I felt that he was just so unbelievably tedious that he actually became sort of funny in a way. Sort of like one notch drier than Bob McNabb.
Definitely. He's your perfect foil. He's the perfect straight man for you, and I just failed.
Well, I think we're... Let's not go
okay,
overboard.
George, yeah, you're going a little over the
anyway,
top.
It's true. But we had done
an Insta poll about whether Bob made... Because Sarah believed that he, and I think believed, that he makes everybody on the show feel a little uncomfortable.
Not,
people in the audience.
Yeah, a little uncomfortable. Not like overwhelmingly so, but...
It's just sort of an awkward shifting sensation.
Well,
here.
If you're feeling awkward, you know you're alive. So that's...
All right, delicate. But the point is, so you had called in to say that you were...
Dude, how can you just flip like this? You were so anti-Bob.
I listened to the other list.
I don't even know what your vote was. What did you vote on?
I said that
front?
He was so gone you needed a time machine to get back to him, and I wanted him gone, and he failed to grasp the show, and he failed to grok it.
Okay.
And then I hung up the phone, and I started listening to the other listeners, and they all had really good points. It's like, we don't all want to be alike.
So it's peer pressure.
No, it isn't. It isn't at all. I think I just wisdom from the fellow listeners. So okay. I the moment I hung up, I just said, you know what? I failed to grok the show. He's the he's a perfect foil to play off, you know, Rick's talent.
Thank you, George. God bless you.
And so I wanted to also answer the quest for Lisa's name. I thought maybe Lockhart would be good because she's captured all of our hearts.
Okay, I think we've entered the creepy zone.
Oh, or Robards would be excellent because that would make her husband happy. Mm.
This is a very poor call.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, now we're losing your...
I respect your...
No, I'm sorry, we've lost your... No, it's too bad. He's gone. Damn. Thank you, Tim. the news department weighs in in its objective style that the call has just lost any value it once had. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a trick transporting bees overturned at the junction of Highway 97 and 197, spilling bees all over the highway.
Bees careful.
This happened next to the Dells. There was a report of a minor injury to a passenger, but no reports of anyone being stung by the bees.
I haven't heard this story at all this morning. There was absolutely no buzz about it.
Apparently, it blocked the highway. The bees eventually moved onto the shoulder, patiently, and waited to be reloaded onto another vehicle.
Please just talk amongst yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mill about peacefully, please.
So, people let the bees be, and the bee will let you be.
Fantastic.
That was my third grade teacher, Miss Mellon, used to tell us that.
He got into the class.
Yes, Miss Mellon.
Let's see. What have we got here? Rick, I too knew a Norbert growing up.
I did too.
Really?
Yep.
Now, when you say Norbert, are you talking about a guy whose first name was Norbert?
And he was Norbert Jr.
Oh.
Named after his dad. As if the dad didn't have enough problems in his own life. He wanted to live life vicariously through his son.
I wish for my son to be beaten like I was beaten, and like my father before me was beaten, like all Norberts have been beaten in this great land throughout time. Good God. You see, that the dad would know, you would think.
Yep.
It's like, and I don't want to start, because I've learned, look, talk radio audiences, I know how they work. I don't want to start a whole, I knew a girl named Candy Barr, because then it just becomes 5 hours of, like, I knew a guy named Richard Hare, you know, and then it was just, I did know a girl named Candy Barr, and my first GM was Richard Hare, but we're not going to have a discussion about that.
I had a contest winner named Ima Nass.
Did you really? Was it in Napa?
No, this is back east.
I'm a Nass. Okay. See, just when I thought there was no comedy left in that particular vein.
Oh, no, 30 years of radio, there's plenty of comedy left. Don't you worry.
I'm a Nass. That really is fantastic, isn't it? How did it unfold? First of all, what were you giving away? Do you remember?
Oh, listen. You know, it was tickets to something that nobody wanted, like, I don't know.
Like horticultural fair tickets?
Kenny Loggins performing in concert or something.
So I never
gave away anything anybody really wanted.
You remember when we were at Entercom and we were having to give away Schick razors? That was
I gave away electric scissors.
Oh, okay. So was it sort of like a, you're caller five.
Great.
What's your name? Nat, did they give the first name first or the last name first, do you think? Like, was it...
He gave it quickly, and I said, pardon me, I'm an ass.
Oh, man. It's a rarefied wit that we have here on the Rick Emerson Show. But as you were saying, you knew a Norbert, but again, you think the dad, having beaten had the tar beaten out of him...
He became a lawyer.
Would not give...
He beat the tar out of everybody else. That's the only thing people with a name like that can do, to really get even with the world.
Every guy named Melvin just goes into law, spends the rest of his life going home and drinking and beating prostitutes. Let's see. Rick, I too knew a Norbert growing up. The only thing that made having the name Norbert worse was the fact that his last name was Connect. And that's K-N-E-C-T, Connect. And the way he rectified the situation, he went by the nickname Nobby. Nobby Connect. Damn. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Lindsay Lohan's mother has confirmed that her daughter is attending Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. You're not supposed to say that publicly. Adita Lohan tells Ryan Seacrest, the guardian of the Star Secrets, that 20-year-old Lindsay, who's often criticized for her rumor-hard parting ways, has not, however, formally entered an AA program. What is that supposed to mean? First she's going, then she's not. Lindsay has been photographed recently wearing a 90-day chip on her neck.
Just quit being such a goddamn attention whore. Oh, I know it shouldn't make me angry, but it does. That girl just pisses me off for some reason. I don't know why. First of all, no one cares that you're going to... just stop it. Stop. Sarah had that picture of her walking out of the store with like the $1,000 gold handcuffs, walking out of some smut shop, carrying handcuffs. Fine, you go to a porn store, buy handcuffs, don't care. Rick Emerson doesn't care. But when you walk out with the gold handcuffs like dangling from your hand, desperately wanting everybody in the press to see that you're an edgy, naughty girl who lives on society's fringes. I mean, that's where... And then you're walking around... First of all, you're underage. So it would seem like you might not want to be advertising the fact that you're just down there pounding down long necks all night long, walking around with the 90-day thing around. Just stop it.
Stop it now. I'm sorry. Meanwhile, a man who pled guilty to molesting two girls told a judge he did it because of his wife's excessive bingo playing.
That makes sense.
Floyd Kinney Jr. says, my wife was never home. His explanation didn't sit well with the judge, who's Kimberly McFadden. Some people, when their wives are not home, decide to do other things, like clean their living room, said the judge. Your behavior is beyond the pale. Kenny said his wife would sometimes argue with him over money when he was angry that she was spending too much time on bingo. She was good at bingo 3 or 4 times a week. I told her to stop. If they had bingo every day, I'd go every day, she said. Records show he molested two girls and between 1992 and 1997. The defense attorney said his client was not articulate enough and may have not been doing a good job conveying his rationale to the judge.
Because I'm sure that somewhere there's a cogent explanation. Rick, unless you forget, Norbert was the name of Hagrid's dragon. Oh, is that? Yeah. That's right, in Harry Potter. I forgot all about that. Norbert, Hagrid, dragon. Excellent. Here's Tim Riley.
I have a story here from Arizona.
Arizona. Wait, hold on. That's I have that here somewhere. A story from where, Tim?
Arizona. Arizona.
Fantastic.
Tempe, Arizona. City leaders have apologized after a program on Tempe's cable channel showed a white police officer telling two black men they could get out of a littering ticket by performing a rap. And Tempe Mayor Hugh Hallman and Police Chief Tom Reif apologized on the show and suspended its future production after community leaders voiced outrage and disappointment. The segment appeared on Tempe's Street Beat, a program produced by police in the Phoenix suburb that allowed several officers on patrol. It shows Sergeant Chuck Chauvel pulling over two men in August at a shopping mall parking lot. He asks for a name and an ID from the driver and then asks the two men if they know how much the fine is for littering. The officer tells the man they can avoid the ticket by do a little rap. What do you do?
Dance a jig for me.
Littering. About the dangers of littering. That type of rap. The two men agree. I don't see anything wrong with this. And each perform a short rap. The dangers of littering. You get a ticket and you ain't it. You better be experienced. The second man raps, yo, I just got pulled over because I threw my trash out the window when they roll over. They got behind me and pulled me over.
You can't rhyme over with over and with over and
well,
call...
this is Arizona.
I suppose.
The
they're
Arizona
short on,
rap.
They're short on soul.
It's important to police officers to realize that black people do not speak hip-hop. They're not all rappers and thugs and gangbangers. We speak the English language, and we're entitled to the same amount of respect.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to hip-hop.
All right. Fantastic.
I'll tell you what, we'll take a break here. I'll play us out here, sir. We'll have it back after this. The Rick Emerson Show, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Jim Riley at the Ministry of Truth later on, News That Hurts, Jim Roop, etc. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
All right, I'm a little nervous, but here's my rap. All right, you're going to have a good, good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking at country club, things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't going to be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl, Austin Cavanaugh. Come on, give us a weather boy, give it to us, word.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh boy, Jen, it's weather guy, by the way.
Hello, hi. It's Rick Emerson, the radio program at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, you know, you failed to mention it last week when it happened, but Lisa Goddard dropped the new direction phrase during her call. I do remember that. Also, you totally tried to get her to say morass. I'm talking about the Iraq situation. Well played. Maybe her new name can be Lisa Morass, an exciting new direction in radio news. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Okay, we're going to go back to Anon, reload,
because
we have a very fascinating story here.
Is it breaking news?
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
But we like to get people excited about nothing, because that's what we do. Attention all singles. It's not too late to find a new love in time for the holidays. We know this is wrong, of course, but that's the gist of the story.
But
it's not going to happen.
But it is our job to give hope to the feeble-minded and desperate.
It's only three more weeks to go.
No pressure.
That's according to relationship expert Dr. Helen Fisher, who says that between now and New Year's could be the greatest time to discover that special someone.
No, it's
a very good time to fall in love because you're already so, you know, amped up anyway.
You're already so drunk and desperate.
You know, at these holiday parties, you meet new kinds of people, you go to new kinds of places, you sort of broaden your perspectives, and you might see somebody that at other times of the year you wouldn't look at.
No, you're going to end up in front of the television, bathed in the warm glow of George Bailey and his family, gnawing on a dried-up chicken bone and drinking holiday sherry by the bucket.
I will say, microwave popcorn's on sale for 99 cents for a big box.
Yes, expert Dr. Helen Fisher says that the holiday season can be a great way to see the potential your relationship has.
If you just introduce your new partner to your parents on a regular Saturday afternoon, you're not sending any signals. But when you bring that person to the office party or to a family Christmas party, you're sending all kinds of signals that you wouldn't at other times of year.
I will guarantee
you. Is there a CBS office party?
I don't know the answer to that. I think there might be. The building is having one. The Louis Dreyfus company or whatever it is that owns the coin debt, they're having a building office party sometime this week. Which
tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Is it during the program?
Things like that are hanging in the hallway.
They're always scheduled right in the middle of the program so we can never go. And all the good canapes
are
gone.
That means like the coin people will be there too. I haven't seen them since I left.
Jenny Hogan will be there. McRib is back. All right. And is it tomorrow?
Okay, I'm going to go look at the hallway.
All right. Well, no, just bring it in. There's nobody else out
there. Yeah, tear that off. Nobody's going anywhere.
There are no other. Not like the voice tracking computer needs to go to a party. All right, so apparently there is some. Okay, so when is the.
No, it's after the show.
How dare they?
No, it's after.
Oh.
Tim's all just psyched up, just ready to be angry at nothing. Louis Dreyfus dropper. This is a really nice card. This card is all sparkly.
You betcha.
Louis Dreyfus Property Group cordially invites you to the. And by you, not everybody out there. You were not.
Oh, so the public is not invited. Perhaps we shouldn't be talking about this.
I shouldn't be reading this on the air. Louis Dreyfus Property Group.
It'll take place at the coin.
Cordially invites you. Yes, you. To the annual holiday celebration.
We can't say where it is, though.
It's happening in the Coin Center lobby. We shouldn't say when and where, though. Tomorrow,
there'll be carolers.
4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Sleigh rides for the kids.
Through the lobby.
Jolly old St. Nick.
What kind of party can we have in the lobby? That's so sad.
I don't know. We're just going to be down there where that security guard always stares at me and gives me the stink eye and goes, you don't look familiar. Are you delivering a package?
Well, we can take a few more stools out of Quiznos. So everyone has some place to sit.
Go to the party. Tim Stuhl will be there. Coin Center Lobby, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. Is that tomorrow? Sarah?
Is that
tomorrow? The 5th?
Yeah.
Entertainment by Tom Grant.
Who's that?
No one knows. They couldn't get Danny Gans. So anyway, the Louis Dreyfus Property Group cordially invites you to the annual holiday celebration, Coin Center Lobby, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow.
Tom Grant and the Mirthmakers.
Tom Grant and the Mellotones.
All right. Singing selections from the Playtone catalog.
Mr. Christmas.
Christmas.
Here's Tim Riley.
So getting back to relationship, expert Dr. Helen Fisher.
You're going
to
be drinking alone.
If you're dating somebody new, think twice before inviting them to your holiday office party.
You've got all kinds of political subtleties going on, economic subtleties, social subtleties in the office, and, you know, you don't want to topple certain, you know, relationships that you might need. So you really got to think about it.
Sarah, I will give you $100 if you bring a hot chick to the office party and claim that she's your life partner.
You'll give me $100?
I get to pick the hot girl and you have to kiss.
Okay.
Really?
For $100? Totally.
You get your nails done again.
I get them done for like 3 weeks.
You have to insist with a straight face to all who look on, though, that she's your life partner. And then you have
even
to...
Even to my ex-coin co-workers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that you have to say Nate is your beard.
Okay.
Really?
No problem with that.
Who's going to be at the company party? Nobody's going to be
Maybe
there.
Maybe I'll rescind the offer.
I'll just keep talking to the door guy.
Nobody will still be here at the next Christmas party.
Well, it seems like you agreed to that a little too readily. It seems like I got to amp it up some. I got to find
out. Well, she's a liberated woman.
That. No, it is true.
I have no fear.
All right.
Oh, and there's going to be like 3 people, and there's going to be some sugar cookies and watered-down orange juice.
Oh,
you know?
That always sounds
and that's
good.
It.
Are you talking about the coin party or the CBS party?
The coin party.
I'm talking about the CBS party.
That's the coin party.
This is the... I know.
How
I'm
many
talking about
are
this.
There?
Oh no, I'm not doing it at the CBS party.
That's what I'm talking about. The coin party. Who cares what?
Well, I don't know. I've heard some other crazy stuff that happens at CBS parties.
Who cares what Tom Grant
Katie
and the people Kirk in the,
is the guest of honor this year?
Coin Center lobby thing here. You're making that up.
I did, but I get everyone.
Oh my God!
I get everyone to stop talking. For
well, no, my initial reaction was how sad. My initial reaction was, oh, it's too bad things aren't working out so well.
We invited Walter Cronkite, but he.
Wait, when is our CES work party?
I don't know. Are we having one? It's December 10th, I think.
Ooh.
I'm making that date up. I don't know when it is. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, back to relationship expert Dr. Helen Fisher.
You'll all be alone this Christmas.
She says if you're new in a relationship, be careful not to give them a long-time present.
You certainly don't want to give them something that's way too big, way too expensive, and way too much in the future. You don't want to give them tickets to the theater 3 months from now because you might not be there 3 months from now.
How about Barry Manilow concert? That's only next month.
Just give them half a ticket to something. I am so... I got to find out about that Manilow the concert, man.
I think they started at $48 and go all the way up to scalpers.
Well, see, no, because I am all over that. My wife is demanding that we go to that to the Manilow thing. And I've seen him a whole bunch of times anyway, and I'm kind of less inclined to see him, to see the Manilow show that's coming up next month, because it's not going to be... I don't know that he's going to play most of his hits. I think it's going to be a lot of the 50s and 60s crap that I don't really care about as much. I mean, when I go see Barry Manilow, I want to hear Weekend in New England and Looks Like We Made It.
Mandy.
And Mandy, well, he'll probably play Mandy. That's the thing. I don't think. I mean, if he tried to get out of there playing Mandy, they'd lynch him. Scotty. Well, Scotty's saying that you need to interview Manilow for real. Well, you get on that, brother man. Oh wait, we've got information about Tom Grant, who's going to be performing at the Louis Dreyfus Property Group Coin Holiday Celebration, inviting you. At the Coin Center lobby, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Bring all the kids.
Entertainment.
And Grandma and the family dog.
Entertainment by Tom Grant. Ryan, hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi. Pleased to be telling you who Tom Grant is.
Tom Grant is a jazz musician. He's local, and he's actually pretty big in the jazz world, if you listen to jazz.
Okay, then.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this jazz like 2 a.m. sitting at the bar, the dame has left you, and you're asking the guy behind the bar named Smitty to pour you one for the road? Or is this jazz like... You know, and then it's that like, and then my head explodes. And then Herbie Hancock comes out and does something, and people call it genius.
He plays piano, and occasionally he has other people sit in or whatever, but that's not usually any singing, just music.
All right, excellent.
This is a piano player. Yeah. He plays it fast.
He's okay, so he won't sing us a song, but he is the piano man.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. Will requests be taken?
I don't know. We should find out.
There might be a little box on top of the piano.
Here's do you ever feel sad for that guy who plays piano at Nordstrom? You go in there and it's just some guy, and you know he's some guy who took like 10 years of music theory classes and wanted to be like the next Rachmaninoff, and he's sitting there like playing Elton John songs instrumental style for fat suburban women buying makeup. So
I know, I would imagine they play at some nightclub somewhere else at night.
Yeah, I know a guy who's who does the Nordstrom downtown, and he's in a band.
All right, callers are offering $50 for what, Scotty? What do you mean for Sarah party picks? I got plenty of those already. Well, I don't understand. What callers are offering $50 for pictures? Callers offering $50 more above the 100 if there are pictures of Sarah kissing whoever the girl is.
My life partner?
Yeah, Sarah's life partner. Okay. Well, how could they? I mean, look at the CBS party. I mean, it is a time for togetherness and for family. How could they frown upon you sharing a warm holiday kiss with your partner of many years, Sarah?
This is true. And well, I do have some holiday shopping to do. That 150 could come in handy.
I'm just saying. You know, Rick Emerson.
All right, let me think about
Rick
it.
Rick Emerson wants to spread the holiday cheer. Here's Tim Riley.
Our relationship expert, Dr. Helen Fisher, says...
Are we still here?
Yes, we are. If you're already in a long-term relationship, make sure you don't neglect it during this busy holiday season.
These primary relationships need to be nurtured, and I think the holidays is exactly the time when you should pay more attention to your partner rather than let other responsibilities overcome.
Take time out from porking the secretary and give your wife a diamond-encrusted brooch so she'll keep looking the other way in the new year. I'm just saying. Scotty says I was offered a DJ gig for Nordstrom to do what the piano guys do. 200. Do you play piano? I don't understand. Do you?
Maybe he plays piano records.
Scotty he's typing now on the screen in his own sort of type, in his own form of the English language. I was offered DJ gig Nordstrom to do what piano guy do, to entertain like they do DJ stuff, $200, turned them down. Okay, thanks, Scotty, I appreciate that. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I don't know what to say.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
I think he needs a publicist.
Scotty, do you have headshots? All right. Moving forward,
Do a Britney watch.
Here's your Britney watch. For, I don't even know that. Is there new Britney news? Well, there must be. I've been out of town. I think I did it again.
Well, this is dated today, so it must be brand new.
All right.
Britney's new hobby is pole dancing.
Uh-huh.
Now, Britney Spears is stripping. The panty-eschewing singer has been pole dancing with her new best friend, Paris Hilton, who has given her private striptease lessons. The two have reportedly been practicing on a stripper pole at Hilton's Hollywood home.
I cannot fathom any... I can't think of anything less arousing than the idea of Paris Hilton stripping for me.
Ew, and both of them using the same pole?
Seriously, I mean, do you think... Are they even cleaning the pole in the, between dances? That's, by the way... the
pressure wash between...
Come on, I'm gonna give it a good power hosing. Pardon me, Paris, you'll need to... Hold on, there's still... Other leg. That's always the sexiest part of any evening at a strip club, by the way, is when one girl leaves the stage and another girl comes out with a huge jug of Simple Green and a sponge. That always gets me really turned on. When a girl comes out with a jar of boric acid to try to clean the floor after the other girl's been picking up dollar bills. Here's Edson Riley.
Well, Paris took Britney upstairs, where she was fitted in a blue tutu, and then Paris put on a matching tutu. They then went downstairs and danced at Paris's in-house stripper pole. Britney loves her new moves and can't wait to get a fella and test them out.
No, oh.
That's so dumb.
It is. Seriously.
I have no idea whether... I don't even know if the story's true or not. I mean, there's...
Not that it matters.
No, there's a couple... There's a couple different possibilities. A, the story is true. In which case... I don't understand, first of all, this desire for... Well, I guess she's divorced, so it doesn't matter. But this desire for wives to strip for their husbands on a brass pole. There's just something odd about that. And I'm no prude, as you know. It just seems, you know what it is? Can I just say...
But yeah, why do you need the pole?
Secondly, maybe the story is just fake, but they're trying to... I mean, what possible...
I think they're just trying to make him sound all sexy. It's only Elliot Mintz.
You are not accomplishing that goal, by saying that you are stripping on a pole with Paris Hilton. Britney Spears is a bigger star than Paris Hilton is. That's the thing. That's what Britney doesn't understand. And I know, again, I sound like I'm really concerned with Britney Spears' career, and really, I could give a rip. But Britney is the bigger star of the two. It seems like Paris is getting a lot more out of this relationship than Britney is. I can't believe I'm spending this much time talking about it. Here's Tim Riley to wallow even further.
Meanwhile, Hilton has been spotted stroking Spears' thigh, leading some to believe that they're planning a same-sex gesture at the Billboard Music Awards tonight. Oh, that's what this story's all about. But the two have since pulled out of hosting duties... Maybe they're going to reprise the Send Britney and Madonna poll, said one source, referring to that 2003 MTV Video Music Awards smooch. Meanwhile, while Spears is gallivanting, Kevin Federline has been busy decorating his son's new nursery. He's setting up house in the Hollywood Hills, and he's required to provide alternative space for the two kids when they visit. He's spending $25,000 on the nursery, and he's having both boys' rooms done in a circus theme, complete with murals of elephants and... clowns.
Have you seen the picture of who is that chick that Kevin Federline was supposedly having an affair with? Is it Kendra James? Kendra Jade?
Kendra something.
Well, see, but that's it. You say Kendra, it's important because there is Kendra James, and I don't know who that is. There is Kendra Jade, who I believe is a porn star of some renown.
Yes, she was. But she's like a porn star.
She's like a bondage porn star.
She was.
She does like S&M and Tie Me Up and Beat Me With a Broom or whatever the hell. There is no way that a chick that hot and that famous would be sleeping with Kevin Federline. There is no way, not unless he was paying her.
She issued a statement saying that they were, like, good friends.
Yeah, but see, there's no way she'd give it up to that guy, not unless he was just giving her a big stack of green. There's no way on earth. She is way too, she's only porn star famous, but still, she's more famous than that guy is, probably. Yeah, and she's way too hot for him. I say it with a tone of bitter envy, tracing my voice.
Here's Tim Riley. Oh, is that the Britney
that
watch?
That is the end of the Britney watch.
For now.
Goddamn Britney watch.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
My seed.
You see, my problem is this.
ironic about Tom Grant. He's the guy that does that sort of suicide-inducing smooth jazz. He lives in Lake Oswego. His music will make you want to stab yourself repeatedly in the face after 3 or 4 minutes. Just so you know, he's like John Tesh, but not as interesting, says Sean. All right, thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
Even the biggest stars in the galaxy go through some rough patches from time to time, and when they do, there's always therapy nearby. Take Madonna and Guy Ritchie, for example. They've been reportedly seeing a marriage counselor in a desperate attempt to save their 6-year union. The music icon and her film director husband, so-called, have allegedly been seeing top marital therapist Tricia Barnes after the relationship hit rock bottom following the couple's controversial adoption of a Malawi baby. A guy and Madonna's relationship, which has previously been rocked by the singer's busy work schedule and her fascination with the Kabbalah, reportedly came under strain after Guy felt left out.
A busy work schedule? What is she working at? She's got that tour going on, right? That's it. What else is Madonna doing?
I don't know.
She don't really make movies anymore.
Thank goodness.
I mean, she... Really, that's what they need. They need Swept Away, too. That's the glue that will cement their relationship back together. Fantastic. All right. Listen to this, Rick. I believe I ran into Tom Grant once during my first, last, and only visit to Nordstrom. He was playing soothing melodies on the piano to entertain upscale patrons at that fine shopping emporium. Now I feel like a jerk for making a joke about that. Apparently, Tom Grant is the guy who plays the piano at Nordstrom.
So technically, we could have the Christmas party at Nordstrom, so he wouldn't have to bring his piano to the lobby.
Yes, that is the Louis Dreyfus property group.
The lobby is just so small.
They cordially invite you to the annual holiday, and by you, we mean us, to the annual holiday celebration. The Coin Center Lobby, which is on the corner of, 3rd and something?
Yeah.
4 p.m. to 7 p.m., entertainment by Nordstrom's own Tom Grant.
All right. There you go. They'll have those little cocktail franks and the meatballs dipped in tomato sauce.
Yeah, and a big scary woman with a beehive hairdo and lots of eyeliner on who kind of like... Do you ever notice this? Am I the only one who feels this way? Yeah. When you go in, when you walk into Nordstrom or where there used to be the Bon Marché, which is, what did the Bon Marché become? Did that become Macy's?
That became Macy's.
Everything's Macy's now.
You walk into one of those stores and you're trying to get to like the aisle where they sell the waffle irons or something, and you always have to walk by the makeup aisle. Am I the only one who thinks that the women behind the counters at those makeup sections always look terrible? I can't remember the last time that I saw a woman who worked at a makeup counter who didn't look like some freak of nature, dawn of the dead, like wildebeest kind of creature. I don't know what it is, man. I mean, I'm not... Maybe the makeup's high quality, maybe it's not. They certainly aren't taught how to put it on very well. Every time I see a girl working at the makeup counter, it's like she just... It's like somebody stood in front of her with a gun filled with makeup and just randomly fired it at her face over and over again.
Where?
I don't know, at places... How's that Quiznos?
Good.
Hey, so it is Kendra Jade that yes. Kevin Federline was purportedly having an affair with. Yeah, she's way too hot for that guy. That ain't right. Here's Tim Riley.
David Letterman isn't going anywhere. CBS announced today that the late-night funny man has signed a contract to stay on the air until at least 2010. It was widely reported in September that Letterman had agreed to the deal. The contract means that Letterman plans to stay on the air longer than late-night rival Jay Leno. Jay Leno... Does anyone watch Jay Leno?
No. Well, except my in-laws. They did it when Fox News is, you know, when 11 o'clock comes, they switch over from Fox News to Leno. That's about it.
NBC says Leno will give way to Conan O'Brien, oh boy, on The Tonight Show in 2009.
Fantastic.
Letterman is 59.
Really? Yeah. I thought he was older than that for some reason.
That's the same age as Bruce Springsteen.
Guy's still funny. Rick, I used to work with a chick at Fred Meyer Jewelers named Lucy Blacklord. And it's spelled Blacquelorde. Might be the spice that Nisa leads. Nisa leads. Lisa needs. I don't know what it is, man. It's not that I'm not bringing my A game today, because I am. It's just that I can't really get it out of my mouth properly. Is it that I'm transposing words and syllables and senses? Also, I'd like to offer my services of smelling Sarah's seat. Okay. I think I speak for all of us when I say ick. Thank you, sir. Let's see. Kendra James. Okay, here we go. Kendra James was shot by the Portland police. No. I thought Kendra... No, Kendra James, a poker player, isn't she? That's
no,
all.
Kendra James... Yeah,
they might be more than one.
All right.
The common name.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, the point is Kevin Federline is apparently engaged in some sort of activity with Kendra Jade, which isn't right. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch. from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show. From St. George, Utah. A woman who says she was forced to marry her cousin when she was 14 told a judge that she sometimes used sex to get favors from her husband, such as money and the freedom to see friends. I would just be willing to try, be a submissive wife, so that he would feel good about letting me do things and have these things, said the woman, who's now 20. She is the key witness in a case against Warren Jeffs, leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Jeffs is 50. He's charged with two counts of rape as an accomplice, with the suspected role in arranging the marriage between her and her 19-year-old first cousin. The woman was testifying at a hearing for the judge to decide whether or not there is probable cause to send Jeffs on trial. I'm not familiar with this church, FLDS Church.
That's the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints.
Okay, which is based in two small communities on the Utah-Arizona border and has an estimated 10,000 members, practices polygamy, and represents itself as an offshoot of the mainstream Mormon church based in Salt Lake City. Congregants say Jeffs is a prophet, and they're taught to be obedient, including marrying at his behest.
And of course, and one of the big things, they don't mention this in the article, but one of the things they do in that in the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints Church is guys are big fans of marrying women of childbearing age, and then as those women themselves have daughters, the guys just marry the daughters as their extra wives. Sort of a waste
not. Like a puppy farm.
Yeah, it's like a puppy, like a puppy mill, but for nubile young brides. Well, that's sort of a waste not, want not kind of a, you know, theory. All right, there you go. The men of God. There's your, thank you. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back with Jim Roop and Clyde Lewis.
Are they a new duel?
Yes, it's like a Martin and Lewis kind of a thing.
It is ironic that since a lot of U.S. airlines everywhere actually treat you like cattle, that they make it a little bit squeamish over the thought of a dairy. But last month, a nursing mother was ejected from a plane about to take off in Vermont because she was trying to breastfeed her baby.
Fantastic.
This extraordinary tale has sparked a discrimination complaint from the mother, Emily Gillette, and a huge embarrassment to the airline Delta. The brouhaha also sparked a former protest.
Is that a funny sort of ruckus? The brouhaha.
Yeah, it's a former protest dubbed lactivism.
Yeah.
Over the past week, there's been rolling breastfeeding sit-ins.
Rolling breastfeeding.
Rolling breastfeeding.
Is that sort of acrobatic? Is that where they're sort of
they
doing...
They put out the mats?
Yeah, they're sort of doing
terminal.
Tumbling while their baby's suckling.
Terminal 5B.
Cirque du Soleil meets milk squirting.
Yes. They positioned themselves in front of Delta Airlines counters in protest, like gunslingers, unleashing their bosoms and latch onto their babies. Ms. Gillette and her husband, Brad, and her 22-year-old daughter, River, these are a bunch of hippies, were removed from an October flight from Birmingham to New York after a flight attendant asked Ms. Gillette to cover up the breastfeeding elements
of
her body.
Yeah, so see, she's allowed to breastfeed, just don't hang your boob out in public.
Mm-hmm. Well, she filed a complaint against both airlines with the Vermont Human Rights Commission, alleging the airline violated a state law that allows women to breastfeed at any place of public accommodation.
Wielding the breast like a gunslinger.
Mm-hmm. But the flight attendant approached, trying to hand her a blanket to cover herself. She recalls saying, "You offend me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not covering up," she said. And apparently this took place on Freedom Airlines.
Okay. There you go. Really know where to go from there. All right, there you go. Let's take a break here.
I tried.
Will up. It's just there's nothing I can say.
It's all right.
Okay. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Clyde Lewis coming up. Jim Roop. Don't go anywhere. We return momentarily. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.